Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Out of the gate there.
Boom.
That's Todd Adkins, and this is the online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel M., and we've already introduced Todd. So this month, Todd, we are continuing, as we've done for the last 333 episodes.
Wow.
Our trek. Yeah. I mean, it'd be amazing. I'm personally wondering how many episodes we'll actually end up with.
It's never going to stop.
We have gone past the limit that iTunes allows on their feed. So if you go into iTunes, yes, or Apple Podcasts, you can't get episode 0 or 1 anymore, or any of the first 34, because they only show the most recent 300.
Like, I think it would be permissible for me to download my brain to, you know, some future AI system. I don't think EDS will be allowed in any kind of tool like that.
It'll probably blow it up.
I'm just saying there'd be something. There'd be reasons why you couldn't do that. Probably the sake of humanity and stuff like that.
And for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, that is Ed Stetzer. So just listen to episode 333, the one that comes right before this, and you'll see who I'm talking about.
What's Ed's sound effect, or I don't know.
He's just obnoxious, that's all. Yes, he has his radio voice. So before we get into our question, actually, if you haven't listened to the first 30-something episodes, you can actually go to newchurches.com.
330-some episodes.
But you can actually go to newchurches.com/podcasts, and then you can actually go through our entire catalog of episodes. You can also go to leadership.lifeway.com/podcasts, because this month we are continuing to tell everyone about the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, which is
a network of podcasts.
It is. So be sure to go to leadership.lifeway.com/podcasts. You can check ours out, J.D. Greer's newest one, and his few episodes are killer.
They are.
Yeah. And they're short and quick, just like ours. And it's all question-driven, just like ours as well. So be sure to listen to that and all the other ones out there. But without further ado, let's get into our question.
Hey, Daniel, Ed, Todd, it's James from Middlefield, Ohio. Hey, I have a question on gathering people to be on mission for a church plant. If we have people that are gathering with us, that are on mission with us, genuinely buying into it, actively engaged in it, the mission, the vision, the values, and all that sort of thing, and they're with you in it, and then if in the course of this mission you hear things in their thinking and their beliefs and behaviors, what they think others should do or not do, and these are on non-essential issues, and you think perhaps that these could possibly damage the mission because they're off course of the main thing, Christ's life, death, and resurrection, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, those matters of first importance. How do you creatively, lovingly, and gently bring or guide them to a place where they can grow that doesn't harm either them or the church plant? Hey, I love all you guys do in New Churches. Thanks.
So non-essential issues like...
OH!
Okay,
I didn't know if you knew the proper response.
Yes,
that. Yeah. I mean, they're in Ohio. Yeah. I don't know if that's considered essential or not, but I served in Ohio, and I can tell you, if you didn't know the proper response to that, you'd be in big trouble, brother.
Hey, every time we drive through Ohio to get to Canada, for that entire, how long is that? 4 hours to get through it. Yes. Our kids are constantly saying, OH, because I mistakenly told them about that tradition.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. So non-essential issues like, I mean, James didn't give us too much information about that, but I'm thinking like, I don't know. Making sure that your dress is longer than your knees. I don't know. I mean, like, what are the non-essential issues that could come up? I mean, I don't want to say baptism because I know James used to be a PCA pastor and he's actually planting non-denominationally right now. I haven't asked him about whether or not he's landing on the baptism issues.
There could be tertiary issues such as drinking.
Yeah.
Or what level of leadership women have. I mean, you know, some people would be like, oh, no, 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 that is an essential issue. Well, it is to a certain degree. I think, you know, personally, I would go to the office of pastor. Anything under that, I'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But and to a certain extent, man, that's a big can of worms to open.
It is.
But that's probably some of the things that he's talking about where somebody might have a particular stand on something that was not – it wasn't that if we are in or out of fellowship.
Yeah, or maybe in a certain – in a previous church they were a part of, that secondary issue was a primary issue.
That's a good way to put it.
Right, and then that's the approach that they're coming with because they don't know anything else, right? Because in our books, the primary issues are – it's, you know, the core doctrines, right? The core, you know, is Jesus the Son of God? Is the Bible inerrant, you know? And doctrines on human sexuality too, and that marriage is between a man and a woman. And there's a lot of these core issues that are primary for us that, James, I would say as you're planting your church, and I know you're doing it non-denominationally, you know, make sure that you're clear on what your core beliefs, your core statement, you know, that what those primary things are. But a lot of the secondary issues, like are you a, you know, do you believe in full immersion or infant baptism? Or are you a complementarian or an egalitarian? Or a lot of those issues, I mean, you're not going to, yeah, you might be a part of a different church, right, but you're not saying the other person's going to hell.
They're just wrong, Dan. Just really, really wrong.
So in light of that, right? So James knows our stuff. He's a plus member with us and he understands the importance of beliefs, behaviors, values, the mission of the church. And I know he's doing a good job preparing his team alongside that. But if some of his team members continually talk with future team members or other people that they're reaching about some of these secondary or maybe even these tertiary issues, what advice, I mean, how can he gently confront them?
Well, I think one of those ways is trying to confront it before it even starts, which is being clear on what those issues are and are not. So publishing your doctrine, but also your statement of faith and making sure that people sign off on that before they serve is a big deal, even if they don't read the terms of the agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying publicly or addressing them beforehand in the sense totally. Of... in a conversation, you're about to serve on the core team or you're about to become a member of the church. Just take a look at this. So you're not saying publicly like do a sermon series on the essential and non-essential issues?
No. I mean, I do think that that's important to do from time to time for sure.
Yeah.
It really is, especially in the beginning. Now, you may use a secondary venue to do that, not your primary Sunday morning service for, you know, like the committed core. Say, hey, you know, This summer, we're going to go through the series, or our small groups are going to go through what our doctrine and key doctrines and statement of faith are.
Yeah, I do think that's a better, you're right. I like that being in a secondary venue because then it doesn't detract. You're trying to, it's funny because through doing that, you're trying to grow and help people with clarity. But by doing that in your primary venue or on a Sunday morning, it can actually detract from that.
Right. So bringing that in means that you're going to be able to have conversations, and conversations are really important because that's how people are going to grow and understand. And it, instead of assuming what you mean by your statement of faith, the statements within your statement of faith, instead of assuming, they're actually going to know because you're going to be able to explain it, answer follow-up questions, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think another way, James, that you could do as you're having those conversations with new core team or launch team members or church members, you can obviously there's that opportunity when they're new to, like Todd said, to talk about, hey, here's a list of things. Let's walk through this. But for them during that conversation and also with everyone who is already serving, talk through case studies. Right. So with that new volunteer saying, hey, here's what this, you know, here's a statement of faith. I'd love for you to read this. I'd even love for you to read this before we get together. Right. So that they're prepared. And then ask them, hey, like, so what do you think this actually means?
Right.
Or here's a situation that has happened.
That's what I was going to say.
How would you, kind of like a case study, and actually, because you are James, because you're actually experiencing this and that's why you submitted this question, bring up, it was like, hey, actually, this is a situation that has happened. If you were in my shoes, how would you respond to this? And then you begin seeing, do they really understand what you wrote down? Because like Todd said, I mean, there's a lot of assumptions. And a lot of times we read something and we're like, oh, I know what that means. But you actually,
you just don't know what it means until you hear about it in the context of people relating to one another.
Exactly.
And also those stories are much more memorable.
Yeah. So that's with new leaders, with new individuals, and also with all your existing. If you're, let's say, having another core team or launch team meeting, then actually have an entire meeting dedicated to this, to talking about essential and non-essential issues and how you can and what it looks like to be on mission together and share that mission with one another. And that way you've missed all those one-on-one conversations with the people that have already committed to being a part of your church plant. But by doing an entire launch team meeting on that, right, and even using something like Ministry Grid, a platform like Ministry Grid to film that and to give that as a part of your new leader orientation. Maybe even creating some videos around that would be helpful too.
The other thing I would say, last thing for me, Daniel, then I'll let you wrap up, is basically if this is already an issue. So we've talked about a lot how to start this out. Mm-hmm. But if this is an issue that you're having and you're having it with more than one person, it might be good to talk about, as Daniel said, to still come back and say, hey, we're going to do a case study or we're going to do a role play on, hey, there's disagreement about this. How would you handle that? I mean, because in some cases, people may understand it or think they understand it, but when it comes down to actually having a conversation about it, it would be good if they did that in practice before they did it in the moment.
Yeah, that's good.
Because some people are more emotionally intelligent than others and empathetic than others. So doing that in that context, I think that's a safer environment. And if issues do arise in that meeting, it gives you a great place to address it. Either in a small group setting or to pull that person aside one-on-one afterward. It just gives you a better reason than just a cold call. Hey, I want to meet with you. I wonder what he wants to meet about.
Yeah. I like
Blah.
That. Yeah.
That would not be fun.
So perhaps you have a similar situation like this, or there's something on this podcast that you're like, oh, can you double click and go a little bit deeper on that? If that's the case, then you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on a mobile device and submit your question, submit that follow-up question. We would love to answer it, play it on the podcast and answer it. Or if you're on your desktop, you can just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right and send that in. Well, as we mentioned at the top of this episode, the New Churches Q&A podcast is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. And if you haven't yet checked out the Group Answers podcast, we want to encourage you to do that. The Group Answers podcast is co-hosted by Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel. And in that podcast, they'll help you resource, train, and encourage your small group leaders. So in every episode, you're going to consider current trends and resources, as well as timeless truths and methods of discipleship through groups. So if you oversee small groups in your church or are leading one yourself, we do encourage you to check that out on your podcasting app. Just go and look up Group Answers. All right, we'll catch you next time.